Welcome to the Sword of Empowerment as we continue with the book of Hebrews, chapter number 13, as we make our conclusion to this marvelous book written by Apostle Paul. We'll be looking at chapter number 13 and we'll be dealing with the topic living a positive Christian life. Living a positive Christian life. So Paul is writing to these brethren in Rome, and he's addressing the Hebrew brethren, and he's telling them, or he's giving instruction for the body and how they're supposed to live within the body of Christians. And so he expresses the brotherly love in chapter number 13 and verse number 1. And so indulge me as we read this wonderfully written chapter, and he concludes with these lovely words. He says, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourself are in the body also." And go to verse number 4, it says, "Marriage is honorable among all, and bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers will be judged by God." Verse number 5, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" Verse number 7. "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Do not be carried away with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with food which have not been profited those who have occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacles have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gates. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuity in the city, but we seek the one that is to come." Verse number 15 says, "Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifices of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good, to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." Verse number 17, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out of your soul as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought up Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work, do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. Those from Italy greets you. Grace be with you all. Amen." May the Lord have a blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his word. This is the conclusion of the book of Hebrews, and Paul is writing to encourage the brethren, and he's telling them the goodness of staying positive, the goodness of staying and living a positive Christian life. The last few years, we have been bombarded by a lot of bad news regarding the COVID-19. And many of us have lost friends. Many of us have lost our businesses. Many of us have lost acquaintance. And a lot of things have not gone the way we thought they will go. But I'm here to encourage you that in the midst of this turmoil, in the midst of all this storm, the word of God remained true, the word of God remained faithful, and God himself remained faithful even to bring us to that positive part of our lives that bring glory and honor to his name. So Paul is writing and he's telling the brethren to continue in love. Do not forget to entertain stranger, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angel. Now, he says, let brotherly love continue. Now, Paul, or the writer of Hebrew, uses the old Greek word Philadelphia here. He assumed there was brotherly love among the Christian. And so he speaks about and tell the people in the congregation or the Hebrew brethren that they need to continue with this brotherly love among themselves. Now, the old words or the ancient Greek language of the New Testament, there were four words at hand that might be translated as love. Now, remember there was the word eros, which was one word for love. It described or it brought out the erotic love, referring mostly to the sexual love. And then there was the word storge, or the second word, which is referred to familial love, which is the family love, the kind of love that is between parents and children or between family members in general. And then there is the third word, which is agape. Now, the word agape is another word for love. It is the most powerful word for love in the New Testament. Now, it was often used to describe God's love towards man. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The word there is for God so loved, the agape, the love that God gave to us, towards us by giving his son. It is a love that loves without changing. It's a love that keeps giving. It's a love that is selfless. It's a love that gives without demanding. It's a love that gives without expecting a repayment. It's a love that is great, and this is what he's talking about. And the word agape here, it's love so great that it can be given to the unlovable and also to the unpilling. Anyone can be given this kind of love. It is love that loves even when it is rejected. This is the agape. Agape love gives us love because it wants to. It gives us love whether we demand it or not demand. You are not expecting to give anything back, but God gave us without expecting anything, even the repayment for the same love. It gives because it loves. It does not love in order to receive. Agape love, and it is only found to describe the love that God has given to his children. So agape love isn't about feeling. Agape love isn't about decision. Agape love is the love that is unconditional, that's undemanding, that does not expect to be repaid back. And this is the love that actually describes the love of God. But Paul, in this word, I keep referring to Paul as the writer of the Hebrew. Let me say, the writer of the book of Hebrew referred to them by saying, let brotherly love continue. And this is where we get the word Philly or Philadelphia. It comes from the word philia, the Asian Greek word spoke of brotherly friendship and affection. It is the love of deep friendship and partnership. Now, when you look into the scripture, we can find this love as the one that described David and Jonathan. That was the filial love. That is the love that is so deep. It's a love of partnership. It's a love so deep and embedded in friendship. There should always be plenty of this kind of love that is portrayed among Christians. We should actually, after being affected by agape, then we should go out among ourselves and we should love with the philia, with the Philadelphia. That's why we find the city of Philadelphia, the brotherly love, and describe this kind of love. And so, our writer of Hebrew tells the brethren to continue in this kind of love. And then he says, do not forget to entertain stranger. Now, he's talking about the filial love. Then he moves on to something that we call hospitality. Hospitality is an important virtue, and it's often in command of Christian living. And the Christians were commanded, even in the old days, in the very early church, they commanded, and the leaders of Christianity actually talked about it. If you look at Romans 12, verse 10 to 13, it talks about leadership asking people to be kind and also to be hospitable. Now, in the ancient world, where motels did not exist or hotels did not exist, they were more notorious for immorality. It was important for traveling Christians then to find homes of other believers, and they will dwell in those homes and they will be with those. So the writer is asking them for simple practicality of their faith. Being affected by agape, they had to portray their filial love, and then after that they needed to hold on to hospitality. Because of the free offer of hospitality, Christians had to watch out the people masquerading as Christians. I remember when we were growing up one time, our mother opened the door for this man who had come saying that he was traveling as a missioner or a Christian missioner somewhere. And we allowed him to our home, and we vacated our room so that he can stay the night there, this supposedly man of God. But in the morning, when he went out, he found that he was using actually drugs, and we had to kick him out of them in the morning. And then when he left, he tried to connive his way to other people, but we had to warn the people that he's masquerading as a Christian, and he was not a Christian. So he was taking the generosity that is offered by brethren. And so the writer is also telling them that although there were people that were masquerading as Christian, and they were using the generosity that was given by God's people at that time, they were also being taught that even though there are other people masquerading as Christians, they should not fail to entertain strangers, because in by so doing, they might also be entertaining angels. Now, the stranger stranger. The point is that we do not do this for other Christians who are strangers to us. If you invite your best friend over for lunch, that is wonderful. But it doesn't fulfill this command. This is when you go outside your borders, especially in this holiday time, that we need to go out there and do something that is so extraordinary, that we need to go outside the box. We need to go and feed those people that are not going to pay us back. Those people that are not going to even appreciate us. Those people that are not going to... We need to step out and we need to go out there and show them hospitality. And using this kind of the strange... The word that is used in the book of Romans chapter 12 and talking about love for strangers. Brotherly love means love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, not just those who are currently our friends. So we should go outside the border and we should use the hospitality even to entertain stranger. For by so doing, we might welcome angels. Remember also the prisoners as Eve chained with them. Paul had a special part in his heart for the prisoners, for he himself was a prisoner more often than he spoke about it. He was in prison in Caesarea. He was in prison in Ephesus. He was in prison as he went down all the way to Macedonia and in the city of Philippi. He was in prison in Rome. So he knew what kind of life is in prison. And so he's encouraging the brethren that they should in turn remember those who are in prisoners as if they themselves were actually in prison with them. Here probably he first experienced those imprisoned for the sake of the gospel. That is what he's talking about here. The writer is saying that remember those who are in prison as if they are there, you are there with them, and especially those who are in prison for the sake of the gospel. And it says, let the brotherly love continue. And then he continued to say in verse number 4, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Now, the Bible strictly condemns sexual activities outside marriage, and fornicators and adulterers God will judge. But the Bible celebrates this love with the commitment of marriage, as indicated in the Songs of Solomon. So marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. Now, he is talking about the past sexual sin may find it difficult to believe that bed of marriage is undefiled. No, the guilt, the sexual hangs up appropriate to extramarital, they appropriate to extramarital affairs, but not in marital sex. Yet this is what he's saying, that they should not hang guilty on the purse. But he's saying those who have already gotten into this, they should remain honorable, that God will move them into different sections. Then he continued to say that let us conduct ourselves without covetousness. Now, the word here, covetousness, is the opposite of contentment. Often covetousness and greed are excused or even admired in today's society and today's culture, and are simply called the abomination. Many people out there, even Christian today, they are covetous of what their neighbors have. We have covetous of other things that we are seeing the worldly people getting. And that's why the gospel of prosperity has actually delayed a lot of Christianity, and we have gone further and moved away from the centrality of the message of the gospel, which is Christ. Yes, as much as the Lord willeth that we may prosper, as much as the Lord willeth that we should walk in prosperity, it is not that we become covetous of the things of the world. Yet we looked at the apostles, we looked at the first early church, they gave up all they heard that they may continue continue to preach the gospel. I'm not saying you become poor. I'm not saying that you stop working hard to earn. What I'm saying is we should not be driven by the spirit of prosperity. We should be driven by the spirit of generosity more than the spirit of just accumulating and giving and getting and getting. And we become greedy and we become what we call excessiveness in today's society. But it says, be content with such things as you have. Contentment has much more to do with what you are on the inside rather than what you have on the outside. Apostle Paul had the right idea when he says in the book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 11 and 13, "Not that I speak in regards to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to full and to be hungry. I have learned to be abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." So we are not looking that much money will satisfy us. No, it is when we are not sure to be content with what we have. Even when we have those millions, we will not be contented. It's the same thing. You do not give because you have a lot. You're not generous because you have extra to spare. But you are generous because your heart is loving to give. You are a generous person because of what you are in your heart, not because of what you have. And this is where we find there are so many who struggle. And this is why, because you're looking at what you have outside, not what you have inside. And you find that some Christians, even if they become millionaires, they will not be able to give. Why? Because they are not generous. They'll still feel a pinch when they're giving. And when I'm talking about generosity, I'm talking about you being able to go outside your comfort zone and help people out there. You help strangers out there. You help communities out there. We need to go out there and be a picture and reflective of our life by living a positive life for Christ Jesus Christ. "I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's what the Bible says. Those who live in contentment, the Bible says God will not leave them nor forsake them. You that are familiar with this Greek text, he's saying there are five negatives here. We cannot manage five negatives in English. But when you look into those Greek words, "I will never leave you, not forsake you." It is as said, "I will not leave thee. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." Now, here it is. For he says he will never leave you, not forsake you. So we may be boldly say, "The Lord is my helper." How do you get to the point of saying the Lord is your helper? Is by living a generous life. And then he says in verse 7, "Remember those who rule over you, those who speak the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." Now, remember those who rule over you. We are told to recognize and follow godly leadership in the body of Christ. Leadership shown to be legitimate by how faithful those people are to the word of God and how they conduct themselves in a godly manner. So Paul advises Timothy along the same lines later. And take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. What? Both of them. Take heed to yourself and continue in the gospel. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear from you. As Christians, we should take heed. As leaders, we should take heed of ourselves and the doctrine. We should take heed of ourselves and the doctrine. For those with faith follow. Such leaders who live by the word, their actions are followed by others. When we have godly leaders, we will have people following them, and those people who be following them will also be godly. And finally, he gives the instruction in worship, and he says, Jesus Christ is the same today and forever. He changes not. Jesus is the same, unchanging nature. Jesus is he who was yesterday, today, and forever. By saying this, the writer was referring to his deity. Even in the old past, God does not change. He's not affected by age. He's not affected by time. So is Jesus Christ. And so he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His unchanging nature provides a measure for all Christians to conduct themselves, particularly in the word and in worship. We should not expect something completely new, as if we were from a new Jesus, but we should look into the nature of Jesus Christ that is revealed in the Bible, at the same time the nature of Christ that is revealed to us through the scriptures, and we should follow the same. That's why I tell my listeners, do not heed to every new doctrine. Every person come preaching to you telling you, oh, I had a new vision. I have a new revelation. No, the same revealed Christ, the same nature of God is he who was, he's he who is, and he's he who is to come. And he continued to say in verse number 14, do not be carried away by various and strange doctrine. Do not be carried away by this doctrine. There is never a shortage of various and strange doctrine in the church. The one specifically in mind here that Paul or the writer was dealing with was the return of the Mosaic ceremonies and the laws that were fulfilled in Christ Jesus. They were going back again, as you are finding people again today, going back into the Old Testament and forgetting to be established by grace. For it is good that the heart be established by grace. Our heart will only be established by grace. How? We are established by understanding and appropriations of God's undeserved and proved approval for us that is given through the grace. We should continue with the grace. We should not be affected by the food or profited by the food that was offered to the altar, or the sacrifices that were brought by the priest to the altar. Our sacrifice was given by Christ once and for all. And so he says we should continue in the good doctrine. We should be guarded by grace here. And as we look into these, the old Jewish people, and he was writing the Hebrew people, telling them that those who have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. They were branding other Jewish Christians illegitimate. They were trying to say they did not have the right, but writer is telling them that we continue not in the Levitical system, but we are living according to the word of God. So we are blessing the Lord, and we continue to uplift him because he is good. And he says here, Jesus suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth in him outside the camp and bearing the reproach. So we come to the conclusion of this book. And he says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifices of praise unto God. So my friends, as we continue to live a positive life, we should continue to give praise to him. The writer here explains several essential things for proper praise. The praise that praises God is offered by him, that is by Jesus Christ, on the ground of his righteousness and pleasing alone. Praise that pleases God is offered continually, so that we are always praising him. Praise that praises God is a sacrifice of praise that is more costly because of an inconvenience. Then the praise that praises God finally is the fruits of our lips. So may the Lord continue to uphold you. May the Lord continue to do you great things. And we should not forget to pray. He says, pray for us. So the writer is telling them to pray even for them, that they may stand in good measure and that they may continue to live and do that which they were called. And finally, he pronounces the blessings and say, now may the good God and God of peace, who brought you up through Jesus Christ from the dead, the great shepherd of our sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom glory and honor be forever and ever. And that's why I like this verse in the book of Numbers 6:22-27. The Lord keep you, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, the Lord lift you up and his countenance upon you and give you peace. May the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you until we meet again on this same podcast, The Sword of Empowerment. Remember to subscribe as we move to the next book. God bless you and God keep you. Amen.